This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Richard Keane, the new CEO of Living Positive Victoria, is with us. Now, Richard was acting in the role for a period of time. He's now... Do you get a sash with it, Richard? You know, do you get like a South American present? Do you get a sash or a... You know, do you get anything like that?
You get a little badge.
A little badge. Okay. So you've been officially appointed... as the CEO full-time. Congratulations on that.
Thanks so much. I feel really honoured and privileged to lead an organisation that has helped not only myself. I started as a volunteer there years ago. So it's not only myself, but it's helped countless others over the last 30 years build their resilience.
Thousands.
And engage better in themselves as people living with HIV. And I think that's a key thing as we go into our 30th year as an organisation this year.
And, you know, a little disclaimer, I'm a previous CEO of the predecessor organisation, People Living with HIV AIDS, and I was, let's say, notorious for, I said, someone once asked me, well, how is that a positive issue? And I said, every issue is a positive issue. And Living Positive has made every issue for positive people something that we need to talk about and act on, and I think the organisation has done an incredible job, and I'm so glad to see you leading it, Richard. It's great.
Thanks so much, and thank you for your ongoing support as well. I mean, I was just looking at my social media this morning, and there was a big announcement overnight from the World Health Organization, who are now finally coming on board with You Equals You.
Yes.
And talking about the fact that people living with HIV now, who have access and adherence to effective treatments and achieve an undetectable viral load, can now no longer sexually transmit HIV to their partners. It's a massive change, and it's an evolution in the response, in reducing forward transmission, but also about the way HIV positive people feel about themselves.
And that, you know, we think about, you know, we think back to, you know, to in the past, we never thought we would have something like PrEP. We never thought we would have the effective treatments. We're still a long way away from, I suppose, a vaccine as such,
yep.
But we're getting closer and closer. When you think about that, Richard, you know, that brings different challenges to the organisation to the future, doesn't it? What are some of those?
Some of those is maintaining the visibility of people still living with HIV, because even though there's undetectable viral load, and we're really hoping that with biomedical interventions like PrEP, that over time we'll see a dramatic reduction in the numbers of notifications in Victoria. But within the context of that, we still have to remind people that the people living with HIV today will be living with HIV tomorrow until there is a cure. And even though it's been reclassified as a chronic illness, over a lifetime, it's not a straight line. There's periods in time when you're doing really well. There's also periods in time when it's really challenging. And we have to provide a service that can engage people when they need to check in, to build their resilience, to re-engage in a peer environment. And those things are really, really essential to us. And there's still so much unfinished business. We see the notifications data coming out recently, and for the first time, people not born in Australia have outnumbered the numbers of diagnosis of people who were born here.
Okay, right.
So we've got a situation where particularly Southeast Asian gay men coming to the country, a lot of students coming here on international student visas and other things like that, which makes them Medicare ineligible, receiving a HIV diagnosis on arrival here, and the myriad of challenges that engages around those issues. So we've still got a lot of work to do in some areas. And the other thing that we've seen is a big change in the demographics as well. We've seen those numbers among MSM start to tilter down from about 75% to 66% of new diagnosis, which is a really, really good sign. But what we've seen in the replacement of that is more women, more heterosexual people living with HIV and sometimes presenting really late because they hadn't known that they were exposed to risk. And so we need to have a broader conversation that's really inclusive of all people, but we still need to target those specific high notification areas.
You mentioned when you took up the job that you will champion the meaningful involvement of people living with HIV as central to an effective community-led response. Yep. How are you doing that?
Okay, so I guess from our organisation and from my point of view, I've been a bit of a champion of MEEPA. It's an international best practice model, which means that we engage people living with HIV at every stage. So when we're developing a program, we'll engage people living with HIV to help develop that program so it's appropriate and it's targeted in the correct way. I think sometimes historically, and this hasn't been for a while, but 20 years ago, sometimes a campaign would be made that's directed at positive people and not engage those people until you get to the stage of coming in for some feedback sessions and get your $30 food voucher for picking A, B or C campaign and then finding that those campaigns weren't really hitting the mark. So it's about that involvement from the very beginning right through to the end in the evaluation processes of those as well, to engage positive people at every stage of those.
Now, if I was to be newly diagnosed, how could you help me?
Okay, so this is a really fantastic opportunity to talk about a new program that we have. We've just received some amazing funding announced on World AIDS Day last year, $300,000 over 3 years from our state government, to have peer navigators located in high caseload clinics all across Melbourne. So they will engage with people who have received a new diagnosis, and that peer message around early treatment uptake, around you equals you, around all the good news and stuff, as well as discussing issues like disclosure, when to do that, how to do that, what your responsibility is legally, what, you know, across a whole range of things. So those peer engagements right at the very beginning of that person's diagnosis can make a massive change in their lives and make them feel like they're not isolated, they're not doing this by themselves, but they're engaged in a process right from the very beginning.
Tell us about Cook and Chat.
Okay, so as I was talking about the changing demographics, heterosexual men, they're small in number, but they are really isolated within the HIV response. And Cook and Chat is something that we started after our merger with Straight Arrows, which was the group for heterosexual men and families affected by HIV. We merged with them 2 years ago and brought them over into our organisation. Cook and Chat is a monthly meeting where heterosexual men living with HIV come together, cook a meal and chat about various things that are engaging in their lives. And our ability as an organisation to provide a range of services for different groups that are targeted specifically for those people has been really effective.
I think you've already answered my next question, which was why your full weekend retreat coming up at Lawn at the end of August is specifically for women and heterosexual men now living with HIV and their partners.
It's because these communities are so isolated within the broader response that there are specific events that are tailored to a diverse range of communities within our business plan, and that's one of them.
Yep. It's a great initiative because, you know, I see how the discussion has moved and how the culture has moved, that, you know, different organisations for women, for straight men, for gay men, and that it's all now, it's all together.
Yep.
And I see that as, you know, because in unity we have strength and we can actually challenge this, and the advances that we've made medically are great, but culturally I think they're just as significant.
Yep.
You know, 20 years ago, as we well remember, those organisations were not always on the same page. And I think to now, and nothing's ever perfect, but, you know, to have all those different groups being represented by one organisation and doing, you know, a weekend away like that, I think, is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. And we also have a other really diverse range of opportunities too. We have a special weekend called a family building weekend where families who are affected by HIV, and that might be a child, it might be a parent, might be a partner, they can come away in a really supported environment and have the kids go off and do a whole range of things while they discuss in a peer environment what their needs are and what their challenges are and how to meet them. And the best way that we learn how to meet them is through that peer experience.
I think one of the challenges has got to be, you know, in for positive folk, is fatigue around, you know, the constant battle for recognition. A lot of the difficulties around access to treatment and support, they've been resolved. It's never perfect. But, you know, the whole argument about being undetectable and therefore safe, you know, to have sex with, that's a discussion that's still got a long way to go, isn't it?
It's got a long way to go. People living with HIV, the Swiss statement came out about 10 years that started this conversation and started the science and the data search to support this theory. But it's going to be, I think, a 3 to 5 year program of us just repeatedly altering messages, reaching different communities. It's a long game.
Yeah.
But it's a game that is... we're energised and ready for that game because it's such a massive change. You'd know yourself that years ago we were considered vectors of transmission. Yep. The weight of that to carry around as a HIV-positive person, even when you haven't been involved in a situation that's caused somebody to be exposed, is absolutely immense. And to have that lifted off our shoulders and the data and evidence supporting this is just such a massive change.
But, you know, the evidence, you know, is there. Changing people's views is the biggest challenge because, you know, when you look at what people are talking about and doing on, you know, and doing online, that there is still a huge amount, you know, I can only speak, you know, in terms of the gay men's sphere, but a huge fear still of positive folk. And, you know, people need to understand that, you know, there's probably a greater risk of getting run over on a Vic Roads on-ramp than contracting HIV. What do you reckon?
Well, yes, it's an interesting analogy, but...
Well, you won't get run over on the on-ramp because everyone's stopped.
And the risks are reducing all the time, and I think those conversations will just keep going. You see changes in the space with online apps and things like that. You see younger people talking about undetectable viral load, treatment as prevention, PrEP, and all of that sort of stuff, and these conversations are happening. I think sometimes for people of our generation it is a bit slower because we were brought up in that framework of the Grim Reaper and other things like that, which still have a massive impact on the broader conversation in the community.
They do. You are on Saturday Magazine. Just quickly, before we go, Richard, one wish for the future in this area, regardless of money, what would it be?
Cure.
Cure.
Mm.
There you go.
Well said.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.